Mr. Despicable. Lying, conniving, ducking and hiding. Business as usual. I just had an epiphany. I'm sleeping with the enemy. I can't let you keep stressing me. Thought we had the right recipe. But you wanna go in and out, drive through fast food. No, it's not good for you. You never grew up, is that why you got that little boy attitude? Bet you live with your mama too.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. I'm your host, Neetu Da. This is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC, probably the only radio show to ever be broadcasted, ironically. Because if you look in your car, on the radio, your phone, whatever device you're using, technology, you'll know that there are no subtitles. Unfortunately, the technology has not been made yet. And on today's show, I have a guest. Please speak so they know that you're here.
Good morning.
This is Dan Miller. Dan, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Dan Miller. I'm a student here at UBC. I guess a writer for Discorder as well. I'm actually working on an article on Neetu right now, so that's very exciting.
I guess you can think of this, you're all thinking of this show as a thanks for writing it, but that's really not the case. I would have had him on anyway. He's a great person, and he's interesting also.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're too kind.
I'm told that a lot, though I don't think I agree that much, but let's put that to rest right now, because we need to get to the topics. Let's see how this goes. So I kind of did this segment before on a different show, but I wanted to kind of add something to it. So now we have food. We have a bunch of food that is just so easily transported. Like, it used to just be like pizza and takeout, like Indian food, Chinese food, things like that. Now you can get your groceries like from Save On Foods just delivered to your house, which is I don't know. I'm still getting used to the idea of they just drop off the groceries like they would like your a couch you ordered or something like that. You have companies that like make all your meals for the week and they just deliver it at your house, and then you just eat them like during the week, and then you just never have to prepare anything. You just kind of cook it then. And then you have Skip the Dishes, where it's like different companies are now just delivering through that system. I don't know how it came to be, but there's that. And then there's fast food places. I mean, fast food is already fast. Why do you need to deliver to, like, McDonald's is doing that now. Everybody has like an app for it. Subway, I think Subway has an app, but theirs is different. They don't deliver. You like tell them what you want on the sub, and then they make it. And then when you go there, you just say, oh, I ordered this sub, and then you just kind of pay for it. So all these places are first constructed to get you food from their location. The purpose is they were constructed in a permanent location so you can get food from that location. That was the whole point. So you can get it from there. But now it can be taken to you. And the point I'm trying to get to is that there's one food outlet that doesn't deliver, but should, because they're perfectly built for it. Food trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't they deliver? I mean, you're in a truck. You could already move so easily. Why not deliver?
It almost makes too much sense.
I know. It makes too much sense. They should have, like, a computer system or app, and you just give your address. They come over, they just make it in front of you. It could be, like, a big show or something.
It would be, like, a ice cream truck, too.
Yeah.
Like, you just drive around.
I know, just drive it around. Like, but even, like, they kind of, like, station at places that they know will be, like, you know, there'll be a lot of people during this time. But after that, you know, I just never understood it. Like, delivery is this whole big thing, and you're perfectly equipped to do it, but you don't.
Well, it's almost the opposite of what you'd expect, because, like, establishments are delivering, but a literal truck that drives around is not doing that.
I know. It's been on my mind a lot, which is why don't food trucks deliver? They're perfectly made for it, yet they don't.
Yeah, that is pretty weird to me, actually.
It is. Once you think about it, I just saw like a food truck one day, and this whole new, I don't know, era, generation of delivery just kind of kept coming into my mind, like Skip the Dishes and whatnot. And I thought, you're just perfectly equipped for it.
Well, the genius thing about the food truck, and I've noticed this, and I'm sure this is intentional, the smell. You can smell a food truck from blocks away. And I think, yeah, it would make sense for them to just drive around, because people would smell it.
Yeah, like the ice cream truck has the song, food trucks have their smell. Though they could, I guess they could also come up with some sort of jingle, too.
Yeah, every food truck could have their own jingle.
They could be a food truck conference, and they can all decide on one.
One jingle.
So that way you can tell the ice cream trucks from the food trucks. And then you always know that it's a food truck. And then maybe it could be, like, the same song, but, you know, it's a little different. Like, maybe one person is kind of, like, electronic mix. Another one is kind of, like, hip-hop mix of it. So you kind of know which truck it is.
Yeah.
But you know that it's a food truck by the sound.
Yeah. Huh. It'd be interesting. We should open a business, maybe.
Maybe. I don't think either of us have the time for it, though.
No.
Another thing, the next topic I'd like to talk about is whenever there's like a show, like say a comedy show, especially for this, you need laugh out loud members in the audience.
Yeah.
Because there are different varieties of people. Some people just, you know, they just laugh right out, like even in a movie. Others, you know, they don't really laugh out loud. They kind of just like breathe through their nose and kind of giggle or just smile. Imagine an audience where no one laughs, and you're the comedian. You'll never know that if they're happy with the show or not. You'll just hear like a bunch of loud breathing. You're like, oh my gosh, am I making you tired just sitting there?
Are you more of a laugh out loud person, or more of a kind of chuckle to yourself?
I don't know. I've never really been to a comedy show or any. I've never been to. This is gonna be a big revelation. I've never been to a concert. I've never been to any sort of big sporting event. I've never been to a Canucks hockey game. I've never been to a basketball thing. I've been to like high school games, like pep rallies, things like that. But I've never actually been to like a I've been to like theater shows before. Like I went to the Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon, with like my high school class, but that was Shakespeare. You're not really supposed to laugh, though. There are moments in it where you are supposed to, like in Twelfth Night, like that's a funny.
Yeah.
So like for that one, yeah, I laughed, but I don't go out enough to know if I'm a laugh out loud person.
Interesting.
Are you a laugh out loud person?
I think I'm more of a chuckle to myself kind of person. If it's something really hilarious, you can't help it. Like it just comes out of you. But I have a friend who has just like the greatest cackle. Like you can tell him even a lame joke, and he laughs the same way at every joke you tell him. It's so loud and it like cuts through the room and makes everybody laugh. And I feel like I told him, I'm like, a comedy club would hire you just to sit in the audience.
I know. You need those people in the audience. Excuse me. A little, I don't know, a really small frog in my throat.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of getting sick.
Yeah.
This right now. Tis the season, I guess.
My supervisor at my internship is getting sick, which is unfortunate. And she's with child.
With child.
She is pregnant. So I don't know how that works. Is it really bad if you get sick when you're pregnant, or is it okay, like it doesn't affect the baby?
It probably doesn't affect it. I mean, I'm not a
neither
doctor
am I
by any extent, but I imagine that the baby's probably okay.
I don't know. I think the baby will survive.
Yeah,
but
does the baby also get sick?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just, it's the radio is spontaneous.
Yeah.
And I wanted to think about it. Maybe they do. I don't know. Oh my gosh. Everything's fine. No one has fallen. Nothing is broken.
No, everything's okay.
Everything is perfectly fine. No one has invaded the booth. It's still soundproof. The windows are intact. The door is closed.
The lights are off.
Well, that's the best thing. But it's for ambiance in the room.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, but for radio, it doesn't really matter who your members are. Because for radio, people are listening in different places at different times. So you don't really necessarily need laugh out loud members in that case. But if they suddenly rose up, or not really rise up, if they decided to like campaign for you to like do a public show, then that might be a problem if they're all like quiet laughers.
Yeah. Well, I'd say like you're pretty funny, so I don't think I would worry too much about people not thinking you're funny.
Have you laughed yet?
Like today?
Yes, during the show.
Oh, during, yeah.
Okay,
for sure.
Maybe I just haven't heard it yet.
A little self-chuckle.
Okay.
No, I like to laugh. I think I laugh at things that, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I laugh at things that other people don't laugh at. Like, I laugh at, I don't know, weird moments in movies. I'll laugh at jokes, and like out loud too, not just to myself. Mm-hmm. And to me, I don't know. It's really,
I think, that happens a lot when there's something about like a show or a movie or something that's just funny to you but not to someone else. Like when I listen to like a comedy, like I listen to comedians a lot, and whenever they're kind of speaking and they haven't really gotten to like the joke yet, maybe they're explaining it first. There's something about the way they pronounce something that's funny to me. Like Wanda Sykes is hilarious.
Yeah, I love Wanda.
Because her pronunciation is just so funny. The way she speaks is just funny. And then there are like moments in like movies or shows that just like, maybe it's just like some sort of walking scene, and they just do like a little something funny, like it's in slow motion or something, and you find it funny, but maybe other people don't get it, or they don't find it funny because they need something like something really big to laugh.
Yeah, I laugh at, like, small little things I notice in movies, little, like, peculiarities.
The details.
Yeah, the details. Something interesting, though, about laughing that I was thinking about. When I wonder this, when you're in a crowd, if you think something's funny and nobody else is laughing, I feel like it can kind of stifle you from laughing.
Right.
And so I feel like that's tough for a comedian. It's a weird social kind of dynamic, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's we laugh collectively a lot of the time. I find that a lot of people don't just, like, if you're the only one laughing at something, you feel like, I must be wrong about this. Like, it's not right to laugh at this.
But I think when everybody starts, or when, say, a few people start, I can't really verify this because I've never been to, like, a comedy show or anything. But I imagine if you're, like, some people laugh, then there's kind of a mob mentality in the room. Like, even if it's maybe not that funny, if someone starts laughing, then maybe it's contagious and you start to laugh, too. Like, if someone, like, there's, like, this old myth. Like, if you sneeze and someone's looking at you, then you'll, or I think it's actually yawns. If you yawn and someone sees you yawn, then they're going to yawn, too. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I think it is. It happens to me all the time.
I don't know.
Just talking about yawning makes me kind of want to yawn.
Go ahead. It'll be an interesting sound. That was a really good yawn.
Thank you.
That should be like a ringtone or something.
I've been practicing.
And now I'm going to play some music from the 427s from their album Stay Gold. And this first song is called Hold the Liberty Bell. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. The BC government now covers medications that could reduce your chances of contracting HIV by 90%. PREP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis and is a preventative measure that HIV-negative folks can take to reduce their risk of becoming positive. Health Initiative for Men suggests that if you have had sex with a partner with HIV, have had a recent STI, have multiple sexual partners, have a history of inconsistent or no condom use, are currently involved in sex work, or have had repeated courses of post-exposure prophylaxis, then you might want to think about looking into PREP measures. CATR and Discorder are not medical professionals. Please refer to your doctor for more information.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Welcome back. This is CITR. I'm your host, Nitu Da. This is Cece. And what you just heard was from the 427s, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. And me and Dan were talking during the break how if Nardwar, say, was to pass away or die, we imagine that he would wear plaid in the end. Because if you know Nardwar, he's another host here at the station. He also has a band. He's always wearing plaid. So I imagine he'd go with plaid all the way to his deathbed.
I think he'd have to. I think it would be the only appropriate
He'd have to wear the hat and his vest and everything.
And I think everyone that went to the funeral would probably wear plaid as well.
Wear plaid, too. What are those called? Those Scottish skirts?
Oh, kilts.
Kilts.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe someone will wear a kilt.
And some bagpipes.
Kind of go all out. Now I want to talk about, I feel like I have a lot of technology or wacky ideas that have to do with technology, but I can't, like, fulfill them because I don't know how to make an app. I haven't even tried. I don't know how the whole programming thing works. I don't know how they do it. I imagine it's incredible what they do. At least that's how I think of them. But I have a few. I feel like I always have, like, wacky ideas. Like, I don't know if they do this in Vancouver a lot, but this happens in Surrey quite a bit. If you have, like, something in your home, like some furniture or a bike or something, you would just put it out on the lawn. You would just put it out in front of your house and then just wait for someone to take it. Did that, I believe you said you are from Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan, yeah.
And do they do that in Saskatchewan or Saskatchewan?
Maybe in the summer. Probably not in the winter, because I don't think many people are walking around, and I also don't think much can survive outside.
But that's where I think an app should come in. There should be an app that you just, you know how, like, this Craigslist and whatnot, where you just, like Jerry Seinfeld likes to say, you trade your trash between each other, or your garbage between each other. There should be something for just to say, like, I have this outside my house, someone can come take it.
Yeah.
Like, there should be an app that says, like, okay, this furniture is outside this house over there. I don't know. I feel like that could be an app. I feel like it might be popular.
It could be. I think, yeah. Or, like, an app that just, everything's free. Like, it's just people giving things away that they don't want. So you could go on the app and, like, oh, there's, on West 4th, somebody's got a couch on their lawn.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check that out. Yeah, yeah.
But then, I don't know, maybe that's a bad thing because then addresses are given out. But I think with those dating apps, like, what, Tinder and Grindr, they're your kind of destinations. Well, I suppose when you go on those apps, you're not at home. You're out about.
Yeah. And you have to, like, give permission for somebody to know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't use those.
Neither do I. I don't know either.
But my intuition's telling me that it's probably, I don't know, that, like, the whole dating app thing is really bizarre.
I've, like, never tried it. I don't know how it works, and I don't know how people find, there's a lot of things that other people find easy that I don't find easy.
Like what?
Like that dating app thing.
Yeah.
Where I don't know. I find it weird, and I find it weird to just kind of, like, say, meet someone and just kind of, like, go out together. Not, I don't mean for, like, it's okay to, I find it okay to, like, if you go somewhere and talk, maybe go for coffee or something, but if you just meet someone and then just, like, go to, like, a bar, and, like, one night stands and things like that, though that might be a traditional thing that's embedded in me.
Well, it's definitely a very weird thing, because it's so new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it used to be you'd have to go to the bar and, like, talk to girls and, like, try to convince them.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other way around, if you're a girl, you go to a bar and, like, you want to talk to a guy. And, like, I don't know. It's a more normal way of meeting somebody, I think, because with Tinder, it's, like, with the profiles especially, there's these, like, heightened versions. Like, that's not really you on Tinder. Mm-hmm. That profile is, like, your ideal self. So
right.
When somebody actually meets you, it's always, I don't, not a disappointment necessarily, but it's always, like, not what you're expecting,
mm-hmm.
I feel like.
Catfishing. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is, for sure. Yeah. And, like, the dating app thing, I don't know. I'm also like you. I find it pretty strange. Like, I would just go up to a girl who I was interested in and be like, hey, you want to grab a coffee sometime,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. I'm not somebody that's like, oh, like, I want to get laid tonight. And
yeah,
I gotta get on that
definitely.
Tinder.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I've just never understood it. Like, I don't like, well, not like. Another thing that I don't, that other people find easy, that I don't quite find easy, is how, like, during, like, a weekday, they would just kind of go out to, like, a concert or something. I don't, like, but I'm biased, because I've never been to a concert. I have no idea what it's like and what happens.
It's really cool. You should go to a concert.
Okay, you've been to a concert. Okay,
yeah,
what's the whole vibe at a concert? Like, how, like, whenever I see it on, like, TV, it's always just, you know, people, like, always on their phone and taking pictures, or is it, like, it was, like, jumping up and down and, like, punching the roof?
It really depends on who is performing.
Right.
I went to my first punk show last year, just kind of on a whim, a band I'd never heard before called Pup, and it was probably one of my favorite concerts I've ever been to. Like, it was crazy. Like, everybody there was moshing and jumping around.
What is
around.
Moshing?
So moshing is, if I can describe it, I'm not, like, a super punk guy, but
neither am I.
It's the gist I got of it is there's like a circle in the middle of the audience, and a bunch of people just go in that circle and just start like running into each other, body checking each other, and like bouncing off each other, but not in like a aggressive, mm-hmm. like unfriendly way.
Not like a rugby kind of a way.
Yeah, it's more of like a, you just want to go crazy and mm-hmm. like have a fun time.
That's another thing I've never understood.
Moshing?
No, just like kind of like going crazy, that kind of a thing. Like getting drunk so easily and not like knowing the consequences, or not like considering the consequences too much.
Yeah, I think everybody's guilty of that. Like everybody drinking, getting drunk, all that stuff. It's weird when you think about it. Like why am I getting drunk? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to have fun, but like, do I need to get drunk to have fun? It's kind of, and you always end up doing something regrettable. Maybe not always.
What have you done that's regrettable?
Ooh, jeez.
Let's go and deep. Let's go into the secrets. I can't give you any because I've never been drunk.
Regrettable things I've done when I was drunk. I've definitely said things to people that was pretty, not mean or disrespectful, but just something that I woke up and I was like, sorry about that. Like, I didn't mean that when I said that. Or like just done things, like hurt myself. I've hurt myself loads of times, you know, just tripping on things, or I've broken stuff, like dropping your phone, stuff like that. Thankfully, I haven't broken my phone, but things like that. And I don't know, I always like, you wake up in the morning, you're hungover, mm-hmm. and you're like, why did I do that last night? And
well, I don't know that feeling. It's that whenever I wake up, I'm conscious and I know what happened the night before.
Yeah, that's probably more fun, because when you wake up and you don't remember the night before, you could have had a lot of fun, but you're like, well, I don't remember.
I don't remember it, so what's the point?
Yeah.
Or why? And another thing that other people find easy, though I don't find that easy, is to make friends.
It's challenging sometimes.
Yeah, like yeah. I can make a classmate, I can make an acquaintance. But I can't make friends are more difficult.
Yeah. It depends. Like, I find if somebody, I don't know, you become friends with people that you should be friends with, I think. You know what I mean?
How does that work?
Like
smart people are with smart people, and people who are, like, in sports are with other people who aren't in sports.
Sort of. Yeah, sort of like that. I think when you're talking to somebody or hanging out with somebody, you can get a sense right away whether like you're going to be friends with this person or whether you're going to be at least on friendly terms with this person. Like when I met you, which for everyone listening was pretty recently actually, it was, I don't know, I knew right away, I was like, this is somebody cool, this is somebody I would hang out with, somebody that has like a unique perspective on life.
But you already listened to my show before you met me.
That is true. Yeah, so I guess I did have sort of an idea of what you were like, but I don't know.
Did my appearance shock you? Like, did you think I would look differently? Like,
I didn't know you were like Punjabi. Like until one of your episodes, you mentioned it, and I was like, oh, huh, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, your voice. I guess because you grew up in Canada, so mm-hmm. your voice, like, you have no accent, or very minimal accent, and.
I would if I spoke Punjabi, but.
Do you want to speak some Punjabi? I don't want to put you on the spot.
Well, I can definitely speak it, though the show is supposed to be English.
Yes,
and
okay.
I'll just go simple. Sasiga dusi, thoda ki hal hai, matika, mera naam Neetu hai, mere mata ji, the pita ji, hun sone de hai, hun jada hasana hona. I just said my name's Neetu. How are you? My parents are listening right now. They're probably laughing. Because I'm not... Although I speak Punjabi, and I am fluent in it, I'm not the best Punjabi speaker, for sure.
Well, you're certainly better than me.
Well, yeah, but I grew up with it.
Yes, yeah, I grew up with just English. But, I don't know, I think it's really cool for somebody who speaks bilingual. I feel like do you dream in Punjabi ever, or is it always
English? Oh, that's a question. Have I ever dreamed in Punjabi? I think I have. I had like this really, usually when I have like a dream, I sometimes I like remember it. Like I remember the whole thing right after. And then sometimes they'll actually write it out. They're actually written in this little book I have here with me that I planned my shows out in. I actually write what it was. Other times I'm a little lazy that I don't want to write it out, but I still remember it to some point. But then at some point later in the day, I just forget what my whole dream was about. And sometimes I just wake up and I have no idea what happened. I know I had a dream, like Martin Luther King. I had a dream, but unlike him, I forgot my dream. I can't remember what it is. But I remember there was this one that was in Punjabi. It was a weird dream where, like, we were living in Canada. It's kind of a sad story. But we were living in Canada for some reason. We were, like, taken to, like, India. I was separated from, like, my brothers and my dad. It was just, like, me and my mom. And we were, like, in this weird, like this dusty kind of town. And we were, like, fighting to, like, get out of it, and we were speaking Punjabi and, like, fight the power kind of a thing. And then I make it out, but my mom doesn't make it out. She dies to protect me.
Oh, that is so sad.
And then I just start, like, going through the desert and trying to find my brothers, and then I eventually I find them, but they lost our dad, too. He died for us, too.
Oh, no.
So that was just us. We're in the desert, and then we I don't know. It kind of just skips forward. Like, now we're in a city, and now we're trying to, like, get, like, a visa or something to go back to Canada.
Sounds like a movie.
Yeah, it was a weird dream. Yeah. There's other details in it, but I'm not going too much in detail. Let's go to the next topic.
Right.
Another whole show can be just about dreams. Weird dreams.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a dream where you don't remember the dream, or do you always remember yours?
I tend to not remember them very often. Although my dreams tend to be very mundane, like very normal, and it's problematic because I will wake up thinking that that's something I actually did the other day. So I'll wake up and think, like, did I talk to that person for real, or was that just in a dream? And, like, that happens to me all the time.
Mine are never mundane. Mine are always, it's always something that I wouldn't actually do.
Interesting.
No, I don't know. It's a weird thing that happens to me. And the next topic, it's more of a question, really. Have you ever seen the bus ads be changed?
Like, seen someone changing them?
Yeah, like, I've never seen anybody ever change them. But I know that they've been changed because the poster is different. Even, like, on, like, bus benches, I know that the photo's changed. But I've never seen anybody change it.
No, me neither.
And I've never seen, like public trash cans be emptied before. Like...
No, me neither, yeah.
I've never, like, how are they emptied? Like, do they purposely, like, do it at a time where we're not out and about?
I feel like probably. I mean, they wouldn't want.
But why wouldn't they do it in front of us? It's not like we're going to get in their way. They already do, like, construction right in front of us, and they.
Well, they pick up your garbage from your house.
Yeah, but I mean, like, more like.
On the street.
Yeah, like the trash cans here at UBC. Like, I've never seen anybody empty them.
I wonder if they never get emptied. No,
no, they have to get emptied because at some point it gets full, and then you see it again another day, and so it's like empty or it's less full.
Yeah. Well, something interesting about trash, coming here from Saskatchewan,
Right. How does trash work in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So we have. I'm trying to get this right because it is quite different. We have one recycling bin, one garbage bin. I'm talking about my house. But we don't really compost, and I didn't really know about, like, composting until I got here.
It wasn't a big thing until, like, a few years ago.
Yeah.
Before, we didn't compost either.
Yeah, so I come here, and, like, I'll buy lunch or something, and I'll go to throw it out, and there are garbage bins with multiple...
Right.
Like, you got to sort the garbage, and I'm not used to that. I'm used to just kind of throwing it in the garbage. Like, in Saskatchewan public places, it's just... There's usually recycling as well. But, like, people don't really sort their garbage, I feel like.
Yeah. And here's another story. When I mentioned that I went on a field trip to Ashland, Oregon for the Shakespeare Festival. But to raise money for us to go, we would recycle, like, all the recyclable bottles at the school. So we will like gather them all up and go get the money for it. And there was like this one, I think it was just one like garbage station where it had like the different sections. Like you put like cans in here and you put juice boxes in here. But it turns out when you like collect it all goes into the same place. So it's not, there's not even a need for sorting it.
Yeah. Do they sort it at the place that it goes to? They must, right?
I don't know. We didn't do that part. We just collected them all from the school, and then we would take it out into, like, a grass field, and we would, like, spill out any juice that was in it, take out the straws, and then we just put them into bags.
That's interesting.
And then I don't know what they did with it after that. I don't know if there was, like, some sort of system where they came to school and they got it, and then they transfer the money later, yeah. Or someone actually took it to like the depot and had to like sort everything out, so that would take a long time.
I think they do that just because like people might accidentally throw something in the recycling that doesn't belong in there. Like sometimes I go up to sort my garbage and I feel like the paper could go in like multiple bins, right. Like I don't know which one to put it in.
They might want to clarify those a little bit.
Yeah.
Then maybe we would. I remember I saw an article that said Canadians don't know how to recycle, and I thought, you know, that might be easily fixed if you just, you know, tell us like specific guidelines, like okay, this object goes in here, and that, like, make a list or like put it on like CBC News. We'll get the information way. And now we're gonna go back to music. This next song is from Carlo. It is track 1.
Nihilists, man.
Huh?
They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Nihilists. Me.
The Great Escape from Nihilism, Rediscovering Our Passion in Late Modernity by Dr. Gordon E. Karkner involves a journey out of the prison of contemporary nihilism and into a meaningful life trajectory. Rooted in the work of Canadian premier philosopher Charles Taylor, this book is a relevant read for students and faculty. You can find it at the UBC or Regent bookstores.
Who's a f***ing nihilist around here, you bunch of f***ing crybabies?
I am Nitu Da, and I am the host of Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CEC. And if you look in your car, your phone, your computer, or whatever device you're using to listen to this, you know that I mean that ironically. Listen in every other Thursday at 8 a.m. to the only radio show that's ever been subtitled. Probably. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Nitu Da. This is my show, Convictions and Contradictions. And we just heard the artist Carlo from their album, Carlo. And the song you just heard, well, heard the two songs previous, was Carlo's Crush. I wonder what Carlo's Crush really is. Who does Carlo have a crush on? And then there's, I have no idea how to say this. If you listen to my last show, then you know why I can't read this. Dad, can you read it? I'm going to spell it out, and then Dad will attempt to say it. It's I-O-S space Z-A-P-A-T-O-S.
Is it Iosapatos?
I don't know. Your guess is really as good as mine as to what it is. But this is the end of the show. We didn't get to everything we wanted to talk about.
Unfortunately,
yes. An hour just isn't enough for this show either. Because you just, as you do radio, it's just, new things just come up as you, like I've always said, radio is spontaneous. Yep. Other things come in. But thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, you're always welcome on the show. Everybody's welcome on the show.
Thank you.
I think you're my fourth guest. My mom was my first guest, and then a friend, Emily Wallman, and then Miles Black for four episodes.
Good episodes, though.
Yes. They were really fun, me and Miles. It was really nice to just kind of for him and me to, like, wake up real early, but then have, like, this great conversation where I just interviewed him. It was probably better for him because he was being interviewed and I was hosting. And I don't know. I'm okay with hosting, but I'd rather not be the host.
Really? But you have your own show.
I know, but when I usually do my show, I do it. I know this is a contradiction, convictions and contradictions here. When I do my show, I usually do it alone. I'm not usually hosting it. Though I don't consider this really hosting it. I feel like this is more just like a conversation.
Yeah.
And then I'm just doing the show because that's my responsibility. And I decided to take that responsibility. But with Miles, I felt more like a host because it was more of an interview where it was all about him and his jacket and his experience.
Yeah.
And maybe we could do that too. We can talk about Saskatchewan.
Ooh, that might be interesting.
And the differences between Saskatchewan and British Columbia.
Yeah, there are a lot. There are definitely a lot of differences.
Like, we're called British Columbians. So what would you be called?
I think the technical term is Saskatchewanian.
I feel like that's difficult to say.
It is.
I'm not even attempting to say
it. But I would just say, like, prairie boy or prairie girl. Just from the prairies,
Is that not offensive?
No, I don't think so. Unless there's, like, hick has a connotation to it. If somebody calls you a hick, which means, like, small town, that does have more of a negative connotation. I don't mind it, though. I call myself a hick. I am from the city, so I'm not, like, really a hick, but, I'd identify as a hick, sure. Why not?
Okay. And next up at 10 a.m. is Rocket from Russia.
Neighbor.